You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here talking about the Word of God. And, I remember a quote. I don't remember what her first name was. We just called her Sister Arnold. I do remember her husband's name. They were professors at the Bible college that I went to, but they came to preach at a church that I was on staff at, and she shared this: the Bible is not just for preaching, it's for living. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be in Psalm 42 again today. We're talking about praising God. Praising God can have an impact on our mind, our will, our emotions. And it can bring peace whenever there is turbulence and noise and anxiety that is running through the corridors of our mind. It can also, praising God can have an impact on us when we are doing it strictly by faith. God, I don't know where you are right now, but I know you're there. And I know who you are, and I know you can be trusted, so I'm going to praise you in faith. I watched a video of a lady who had taken her dog to the dog park, and the dog got so excited, was having so much fun, and then all of a sudden, the dog looked up and could see a lot of dogs, but the dog couldn't see its owner, and started going towards people. No, that's not it. And then all at once, the dog saw the owner and took off for the owner, like as fast as its little legs would carry it. And folks, that's what I can tell you about God. Is God's watching us. I mean, the owner was actually videotaping this during that entire time. And what a, I think we need to make sure that we are pursuing God faster than that dog was pursuing being reunited with its owner. So my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We'd like to invite you out to our midweek services tonight. We have a kids class, and we have a adult service. We've got some exciting things that are coming up, and as soon as I have more details on that, we will be sharing that information with you to let you know. But we're excited about the new things that are going to be happening at Merritt Assembly of God. A lot of times church can be the same thing week after week after week after week, and that's not the way that I like for church to be. I had a person one time that told me, said, you know, when you're preaching, there's two people that have no clue what's getting ready to come out of your mouth. The first one is the devil. He's just not prepared. And he said, and the second is you, because you're just listening for whatever God wants to share. And the truth of the matter was, I had notes and everything, but if God dropped something fresh in my spirit, I was going to run with it. And so I believe that our relationship with God should be alive. It should be vibrant. It should be an adventure. So we hope that you will come and join us Wednesday night, tonight, 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. So today we're going to be in Psalm 42. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. We've already talked about verses 1 through 5. It says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." So let's just tackle this here before we move on. We talked about in verse number 5 on yesterday's program, "Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." There was a reason. The psalmist was looking for the reason. Why am I cast down? Why do I feel like I'm melting away? I'm withering away. Why do I feel like my fears are screaming at the top of their lungs? My problems are screaming at the top of my lungs, and I can't hear God for anything. What is going on? And he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And the psalmist says, "Victory is coming, and I am going to praise God." That's what's coming. So verse number 6, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Here he's saying that there's not just a reason, but the condition is a reality. Life has a way of impacting our mind, our will, and our emotions. So I love to praise God. I love to give thanks. But during the years when I was managing shoe stores, Thanksgiving was one of my worst days. It was, you know, my family would say, "Hey, do you want to go do this?" I said, "No, I don't. I don't want to go any place." And the reason for that was because my day, you know, this was back long, long, long before COVID, Black Friday shopping started earlier and earlier and earlier. Everybody was trying to get started before everybody else. And so on Thanksgiving Day, I knew that my day was getting ready to start very early. It was going to go very long, and I was not going to get a day off until Christmas Day. So that had a negative impact upon me. Now, here's the thing. If you're not careful, the way that if you are handling a situation negatively, it can cause other people to be having negative encounters with you. And that just compounds the problem. So when the psalmist here says, "My soul is cast down within me," he's saying this is reality. It's reality. Now, he does not want his present reality to be the same as his future reality. So how do we break the cycle? He says, "I do it by remembering." Do it by remembering. A lot of us can remember the bad things. Many times we struggle remembering the good things. I remember, again, from retail experience, if a customer had a bad experience, they told like 10 people about their bad experience. If they had a good experience, they told about 3 people. So there was much more motivation to share bad news than there was good news. So when we think about that, we have to remember that the positive probably outweighs the negative. I saw a podcast or something where a pastor was talking about that he had met with a counselor, and he was struggling, and the counselor said, "Well, why are you struggling? What's the reason behind it?" And he said, "Well, this, and this." And he said, "Well, I want to give you a piece of paper." And he said, "I want you to write down every one of those bad experiences, the things that are weighing down on your mind that are negatively impacting you. They're putting you in a discouraged mood or depressed or, you know, just you're not who you want to be. I want you to write down every single one of them." And so he did, and he handed it to the counselor, and he read it, and he said, "Do you know how many things you have on this list?" And he says, "No, how many?" And, you know, at this point in time, he doesn't know where the counselor is going. And he says, "You've written down 6 things. 6 things are controlling your emotional health and well-being." He said, "Okay, now I have another exercise for you. I'm going to hand the pad and I'm going to hand the pen back to you, and I want you to write down every positive thing that anyone at the church has ever done for you." And the person said, "Well, there's no way that I can do that." And he says, well, why not?" And he said, "Well, because there's too many good things that people have done to me that I could count. It would be into the hundreds." And all of a sudden, at that point in time, there was a realization that the few negative experiences were influencing the soul more, the mind, the will, and the emotions of this pastor, than the positive experiences are. Now, I can tell you, if you have had a bad experience at church, your pastor has probably had more bad experiences at church. And I'm not saying that to compare, my book's bigger than your book. That's not the point. I can just tell you that it's probably exponentially more. But I can also tell you this: they've probably had a lot of really great experiences too. And it's just a matter of what we're going to allow to influence us, whether it's going to be the positive, which outnumbers the negative, or not. So I was told by a pastor that I was worthless and would never amount to anything in the ministry. I got fired. I went and had a conversation with the pastor I grew up under, and come to find out that the pastor who fired me had already talked to him and had done that a number of times. And he gave me some encouraging words, and I'm not going to share those with you. But they were very encouraging, and it was decades that went by before I encountered someone from the church that I had been told that I was worthless and would never amount to anything in the ministry. And I when I had an encounter with him, a conversation with him, I said, I am so surprised that y'all would make the effort to come over here to see us. They came and visited the church in Merritt Island. And they said, why? And I said, well, I was just such a horrible youth pastor. And they said, who told you that? And I said, well, I was told I was worthless and never amount to anything in the ministry. I just considered I was the worst youth pastor of all time. And they said, you weren't one of the worst. You were one of the best we had at that church. And so I had lived for probably at that time over 30 years of my life. And one man's opinion had more influence, one negative opinion had more influence over my perception of that season in my life than a lot of other people's positive perceptions. And so do a better job of remembering. Remember the good times. A lot of times when couples are going through turbulent waters, they remember the bad times, but there had to be some good times. If there weren't any good times, you wouldn't have ended up as a couple in the first place. So remember the good things. You say, oh, well, people can't do that. Folks, it happens all of the time. You go to funerals and I guarantee you that there were rough patches in the relationship of the person you're going there to remember their life. But people almost always fixate and focus during that season on the good things. And, I've gained some perspective in the past several years that just because they may not have been absolutely perfect doesn't mean that they had made vast improvements on the situation in which they grew up in. So the psalmist here says, my soul really is, cast down within me, but I'm going to remember you. And he says, I'm going to remember God. Rather than remember my enemies, rather than remember my problems, rather than remembering the giants and all of those sorts of things, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember you in the Jordan. I'm going to remember you on the mountains. I'm going to remember you in the hills. I'm going to remember you when I see the beauties of nature. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. When my wife and I went away on vacation, we took a drive. It was the most atypical vacation that she and I had ever taken, because it involved going and sightseeing and things like that. We went and saw parts of the country we weren't familiar with. Part of that sightseeing tour ended up taking us to a place that had waterfalls. We actually saw a couple of different waterfalls. Now, it wasn't Niagara Waterfalls. It wasn't Victoria Falls. It wasn't any of those type. But I can tell you that you would know when you were near the waterfalls because the volume level went up. And if you think of God during an encounter with a waterfall, when he says, test me in this, prove me in this, see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you do not have room enough to contain, all of a sudden you realize that it's the pressure from above that is causing the noticeable impact on the ground beneath. Now, I will also tell you, there's a translation of this word. Instead of waterfalls, it's water spouts. And that, when it says deep calls unto deep, a water spout is one where there's an atmospheric circulation that is taking place in the air, and it's reaching down into the water, and it is pulling the water up, and it just keeps bringing more and more water up from one depth. And I will tell you this, God is always looking to call us into a deeper walk with God. Those moments of reflection, those moments of remembering God and his faithfulness, that he has created us, the times that he's come through for us, it will cause things that maybe have been buried, that you don't remember the blessings anymore. And all of a sudden it starts coming up to the surface. Sometimes God will be bringing those painful moments up from the depths, not so that you can be reminded of them, but so that they can be dealt with victoriously because of who God is. God gets the last word on who, or on how we're going to live our life in the future. He says, all your waves and billows have gone over me. As a person who's not a phenomenal swimmer, I mean, I can swim. You don't want me swimming in a race. You don't want me swimming for endurance. But there have been times when I've been, you know, out at the beach and playing in the ocean, and all of a sudden just get completely overwhelmed by a wave. Getting overwhelmed by a wave, that's not that fun for me. But learning to ride a wave, body surfing, that's a lot more enjoyable. He says, all your waves have gone over me. Those are not waves of affliction. Those are waves of blessing. In verse number 8, I want to point this out to you, because if you don't understand this, you may restrict your praise to whether or not you are emotionally feeling like it. The psalmist here is moving beyond just praising God when he feels like it to remembering God, that he was faithful in every season, in every atmosphere, in every terrain, in every age. God's been good. Listen to this. This would be a good verse to write down. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. There are some people who don't like commands. Some people thrive on commands. Here it says God commands his loving kindness in the daytime. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. As you are facing whatever challenge may be before you right now, I want you to remember Psalm 42, verse number 8, and say this: the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. It's commanded. Psalm 133 talks about that God commands the blessing, even life, forevermore. I tell our church, we cannot exist without the commanded blessing of God. Today, if you are feeling as if the problems are wearing you down, I want you to praise God today because he has a command for his mercy, for his loving kindness, and it is going to prevail in the daytime, and it's going to set the stage for the night. It says, and in the night his song shall be with me. So, while we were on vacation, one of our children sent us a video of one of our grandchildren. And they were teaching them a song that I sang when I was in children's church. And it was, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And that grandchild was really getting into that song, probably been learning it at school and learning it at church, and now they were singing it at home. Here's what happened after that video. That song got into me. And all of a sudden, I was transferred back to children's church when I was growing up, and all I sang most of the rest of the day was, praise ye the Lord. I just kept singing the song over and over and over again. Because once it gets down inside you, all of a sudden, you're going to be singing. I was singing it, and there were perfect strangers around there. And it's like, you know what? They probably thought I was crazy, and they might be right. I don't know. But in the night, his song shall be with you. Praise him in adversity. Praise him when the cavalry starts to be heard in the distance. Praise him when the promises are rising up in your life. And then say this: this is a prayer to the God of my life. The devil is not the God of your life. Your problems are not the controlling influence in your life. God is the one. God is the one who orders our steps and directs our path. He orders our steps in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is the one that created me on purpose for his purpose. He chose the time. He chose the place where I am supposed to live. He has appointed me the day that I was going to be born. He's appointed me my purpose, my goal. He has appointed me the time that I am going to be promoted into his presence. He is God, not my problem. And so I'm going to take my problems and I'm going to make them a matter of praise and a matter of prayer. And I'm going to focus on God, the solution, not the problem. God is our solution. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Wanna miss it.